Blog Talk Radio.
Real drum and real bass and real melody, real songs expressing reality, dreadful and powerful lyrically against all odds. Real drum and real bass and real melody, Naya Bingi chanting mystically. In the city, against all odds, for what we try. Oh, it's in a ruthless world. Jam music has to forward. It's in a ruthless world. Jam music must forward. It's in a ruthless world. Jam music has to forward. It's in a ruthless world.
My melody, and I can take away my song.
everybody. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. Giving a shout out to Blog Talk for making all this possible. It's a wonderful thing to be able to talk to your brothers and sisters and not be limited to one city. That's a blessing. And I'm wise enough to know that it don't always have to come from people you know. Sometimes strangers can give you a nice gift. I just hope that they won't do like a lot of social networks and try to block the things we are trying to get out, the message we're trying to get out, because a lot of our brothers and sisters are experiencing that, especially when they talk about the subject we're talking about today. I know a lot of people are complaining about Facebook and YouTube. YouTube has pulled a lot of so-called Hebrew Israelites videos. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. You know, we want to look at some scriptures today. Obviously, every time I'm on blogtalkradio.com, I'm going to always be talking about some scriptures. That's just a given. Anytime I talk, period, it's just a part of me. It's always going to come out. But today I want to really talk about those people that hear this message over and over and over again and just constantly doubt us or doubt it. I would love to talk to you today if you can be bold enough to call the phone line. Phone number right there. If you're on the internet, it's right to your left on my page at blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstones. That's 5_smooth_stones. You can call the 760-283-0838. Today I want to do something a little different. I want to hear from those that have beef with this message. I want to hear from those that think this is a cult. I want to hear from those that think this is just wrong or a misinformation or twisting of scriptures. I would love to hear from so-called Jews today, people that consider themselves Jews, raised Jewish, Jewish this, Jewish that, bar mitzvah, whole nine yards. I would love to hear from you. Today is your show. I'm going to say it again. Today is your show. I am curious to know what it is you are hearing from all of these millions of people across the planet. There's not thousands, there's millions for real, that are constantly saying, some of them with scriptures even, that the people in Israel, as we know today, is nothing more than judgment. People that the Most High have brought there as punishment unto his people, and that the Most High ran out of Israel, or Israel was forced into exile thousands of years ago, and they have not returned yet. And the few black ones that have, or non-white ones that have, is, as we know, disrespected, or not received at all. So today, I want to hear from you. Today is your day. Also, I want to give a little bit of my testimony. In other words, how have this helped me personally? What have this message done for me personally? So this is where we're at today. Again, we're talking about black biblical Jews, okay, the amazing proof of black biblical Jews 101. This is where we kind of turn off the Hebrew, meaning we don't say, today I'll say God, whereas I normally call God, Yahweh. I don't use the word Yahweh that much, but that is technically correct. Some people just say you hate, wife hate, use the textra grammaton. I always get that word mixed up, but many of you know what I'm trying to say. They just go with the yud hey vav hey, period. It's called the letters versus what they think it means. And but today I'll say God instead of going with the textual grammaton. And for the Messiah, although I will say Yeshua or Yahshua, they here we're just using by the old-fashioned name of Jesus because that's where a lot of you are at, and I respect that because that's where I come from. I never will forget my roots like the song just says. Okay, that was my roots because the Most High knew exactly who he was calling on. Sin is when a man know to do right and don't do it. So some of you might say, so why are you saying the name Jesus? You know, there was no J in the Hebrew language. Because Paul said he become all men, all things to all men that he may win some. He said, if me defend my brother, I'm not going to eat meat, knowing that it's okay to eat meat. So I don't think I'm sinning by saying Jesus Christ, a name that I grew up under, learn everything I learn under, even though I know beyond a shadow of doubt that the man that walked the earth, healed the sick, raised the dead, mother named Mary, was not Jesus. Okay? So today we're just going to relax and talk as though you are not a Hebrew Israelite, but you're a regular person listening, and we're just going to make you comfortable because we want to reach you. Sometimes you can't reach people if you're religious and you just can't even, I mean, y'all can sit up and look at some of these movies. It's rated R and hear all these curse words, see some of the most profound things, wicked, and some of the most wicked things uttered out of people's mouth. But you can't say Jesus to win your brother. How sick can we be as a people? We got to be wise. I'm speaking to those Hebrew Israelites that do know the names of the Most High and his son or the Messiah. So you may know the textual grammaton. You may know the deep mysteries of the Hebrew language. But today we got to reach out to our brothers and sisters, and we got to know, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Scripture said, he that winneth souls is wise. So, and another thing is, don't forget about the people that's going to make it in who don't even know the name of Jesus. Never heard it. Never heard Yahweh or Yahweh or Yeshua. But the Bible says that they're going to make it because of their conscience. That those that are without the law have their conscience excusing them or judging them. What about those people? Y'all not scripturally correct on that. But anyway, let's move on. Today, again, I'm just going to share my testimony. And I'm also want to definitely open up this phone line to those that have problems with this message. This is your day. It truly is. So if I get my wish today, it would be the first half, maybe to share my testimony or somebody call in and really let me know what is the beef with the message. In other words, I like to share like half the show my testimony, another half talking to brothers and sisters that have beef with this message. What message, Brother Seth? What are you talking about? This message that I'm hearing all over the internet, especially on places like YouTube, Facebook, this tsunami of people that are coming forward saying that so-called African-Americans, not all black people, by the way, for sure not all black people, but African-Americans and certain people scattered throughout the world are indeed the true Jews of the Bible, the true Israelites, and that the Bible is a predominantly black book, and that white skin only came into the picture as a result of a curse. Coming out of Leviticus 13, this is what I talked about on yesterday, okay, what we call leprosy, the form of leprosy. It's not all of leprosy. It's a form of leprosy. Okay, we talked about that on yesterday. And while I'm in, let me just go over the schedule real quick, but every single Shabbat, Saturdays, we're going to be talking, well, not every single one, maybe just one or two more, we're going to be talking about leprosy because we've already done 2 weeks of it. So we'll do two more weeks, and we'll be done with the whole leprosy series. I beg you, I'm literally going to beg you on this one. Please listen to the leprosy system episodes in the archives. It has absolutely, positively nothing to do with what your brain is thinking right now when I say the word leprosy. And I use scriptures. I don't twist scriptures, folks. I use scriptures to show how that we are all truly one family, from one couple in the garden, made from the dust, the brown dust, dark dirt. We all came from that dark dirt. This is what I talk about, and how that as we begin to sin, we lost the ability to do a lot of things, lost the ability to, some of us no longer, well, we lost the ability to live long life. We've lost the ability to live a long life because of sin. We lost the ability to produce things like even our hair. Our environment started acting up. Our animals start acting up. When sin enters the picture, our body began to do weird things. The environment began to do weird things. Like I said, the animals began to do weird things. Our planet began to do weird things. And with regard to the body, one of the things we lost the ability to do, some of us, was to produce more of that brown earth. We start losing pigmentation. Today we call it vitiligo. That's one form of it. And many people are born white or albinos, completely lacking pigmentation, or this thing we call melanin that gives you hair color, eye color, skin color, because of sin. So this was the first discovery of white skin. This is Bible, folks, all day long. I love all people. Shout out to humanity. I love all people. Love all people. Have no beef with no people in terms of hating them. And I would never put something out there. The scripture says, whatsoever is not done out of love is a sin. And I'm not going to be guilty of that scripture. I truly love people. But this word right here will make you think I don't, because it's so foreign to the way we think today. We've been taught that everything started with white people, or most everything started with white people. But when I share this with you, you're going to see that when Africa, when Europe was first, when the caveman was in Europe, crawling around the caves of Europe, I'm talking about white people, which was nothing more than black people. That was albinos that migrated to the northern climates because that was better for their condition. This is not just black folks saying this, angry black man. No, this is a lot of white people. People like Michael Bradley, chosen from the Caucasus. Lots of scholars. While I'm at it, go to my page, blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstone. That's 5 _smooth_stones. Click on the where it says Google. Go to my library. You can see a lot of the books I'm talking about right now. You'll see where Brother Seth is getting this information. You'll see it come from scholars, white and black, okay? And the Bible, that's the most important book of all of this, the Bible. But 90% of what I say come from the Bible, but I'd say 80% of what I say come from the Bible, but I do use 20% from the secular world, scientists and so forth. So this has nothing to do with hate. But anyway, those albinos migrated to the hills of Europe, and they being up there so long in that condition that was better for their skin and eyes began to create what we call it the caveman era. So when you hear about cavemen, that's partly true history. What they don't tell you is why there was cavemen in Europe. Africa had universities, science, technology, arts. So when Europe became a giant and began to flex its muscles, all of what it got, it took or stole from Africa, a place we call Africa. Okay? That's in a book called Stolen Legacy. It's also in my library. Anyway, moving right along, that's what we talk about on Saturdays. You kids just cannot miss that. On Saturdays at 11 a.m., we call it the Shabbat. Now, on Sunday, we talk about how we know we're Israel. How do we know? It's your proof that we have. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, except today I'm going to give my personal testimony, and I'm opening up the phone lines for those of you that have issues with this message. This is your day. Today is your day. I'm hoping we get people calling and say, Brother Seth, I'm glad you opened the phone lines. I've been wanting to say something, you know, but I really think you have changed and you're believing a lie now and you're deceived. And this, I love you, my brother. I don't want you to come at me like that. Today is your day. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, the Bible says, you ought to restore such a one. As long as I give you the ability to talk and we don't shout and disrespect each other, you are required, my sister and my brother, to call me and say, okay, here's what I have, or here's what I don't understand about this message, okay? Today is your day. What are you going to do? Just sit back and listen and say, I'm not calling. You're going to let shyness take you? That's fine. All right? So that's on Sundays. On Tuesday night at midnight, Central Standard Time, we always try to invite Hebrew Israelites or Israelites, so-called Israelites, all over the world. This is where we reach outside of the United States and say, okay, you call Israelites in all over the planet. Call the show. We open up the show. We've already talked to a brother from Israel, talked to a brother from Sweden, and we're supposed to schedule to have another brother call from Israel again. And hopefully we're going to try the brother again from Chile, South America. Okay? So we got we know people all over the planet. And the Most High blessed me to see 24 nations. And I know I say it a lot, but it bears saying a lot. And I've met people, I've seen this movement in a lot of different countries. I'm telling you, folks, it's nothing small. It might be the largest movement right now in the religious arena, or what we call the religious arena. And that's on Tuesday night. We call it the Federation of International Israelites. Federation means uniting. The Federation of International Israelites. That's, again, the late night show at midnight on Tuesday night. Thursday night is one of my favorites. That is something called the One World Society. This is where we talk about the government. Again, this is a midnight show, Central Standard Time. We talk about it all. We talk about the Illuminati. We talk about the One World Government. We talk about the CIA, Federal Reserve, International Money Fund. Did I say secret societies? World Health Organization, World Trade. What is really going on in our country? We can't trust CNN, ABC, CBS. We can't trust these people that are puppets just sitting there, somebody pulling their strings. We know, some of us know that these organizations have been bought and paid for a long time ago. And we will never know the truth if we're just sitting up looking at the daily news with a cup of coffee. Some of us know that. And we've reached out to organizations like Truth11.com. I said Truth11.com. DemocracyNow.org. DemocracyNow.org. NOI, that's the Nation of Islam.org or .com, I think it is one of those. We know that Farrakhan, why he may, you know, he's a Muslim, and most of us that are listening probably not Muslim. We know that that's one of the strongest voices in America right now, and he's going to tell the truth. We also reach out to www.chomsky, C-H-O-M-S-K-Y, .info. Some say he is the brightest mind on the planet. Why? Why do they say that about Mr. Chomsky, Noam Chomsky? One of the reasons is nobody will debate him. The man is a walking encyclopedia. If I had a goal, if I could say this about a grown-up, I would say, this brother here, I would love to get the kind of insight he has. It's amazing, though, one person can have that much information. I'm very much impressed by Noam Chomsky and his ability to break down the West and our greed and imperialism and his war on terror and I just love that brother. Anyway, it's a white gentleman, but I still call him my brother. So anyway, that's our schedule pretty much. Again, Thursday night, One World Society. So let's talk about this holy Hebrew Israelite thing. What is going on? What is going on? Why do so many people have trouble with this? Please be bold enough to call me. Some of y'all are so scary and shy. You're going to have to fight sometime in your life, okay? If you see your brother overtaken in a weird belief such as black people believing they're Israel or Jews wow, that's, you should call and say, you know what, Brother Seth, I'm going to say this and I'm off the phone. You say call in, I'm going to call in because I love you. I disagree with this movement. I think that y'all need to focus on just blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's what I want to hear today, okay? But while we're waiting on you to get enough courage to call me and tell me how you think this movement is setting us backwards, taking us backwards, you know, I'm going to go ahead and share my testimony, but I'll give you the opportunity to interrupt me at any time, okay? All right? First and foremost, and again, you can call me at any time or make any comments in the chat room. I'm going to try to read, do two things at one. Normally, Arlene is with me today, but she's not. Anyway, another story. She's got something serious she had to do. So let's just go back to when Brother Seth first got this information and how it changed his life, okay? Now, and again, we will be talking about scripture, so if I were you, I would get a notepad out and I would get my Bible out, okay? It's very important you get your notepad out and your Bible and even your Bible dictionary if possible. 1987, I heard a man by the name of Kenneth Copeland say this at his convention. God is getting ready to use the black man like never before, and the first is going to be last. And the last is going to be first. Now, when I heard that, and here's the prophecy again, God is getting ready to use the black man like never before, and the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. Black folks, and even some white people, tore up that convention center, just shout, rejoicing, rejoicing. That was the greatest news they had ever heard. Between 1987 and 1988, something else happened. Something happened at Calvary Church. Sorry, Bob Nichols, to put your church on the spot like that, but this it truly happened. I knew some people that fellowshipped at Calvary, and I knew that they was powerful in the word, that was very familiar with the scriptures, the teachers. But for whatever reason, they had been going there forever. That's another thing. They had been going there forever. They was mature. They was faithful. They was givers, blah, blah, blah. But they never would be given a spot in leadership. And one time, this particular brother was doing the Sunday school teacher could not make it, and so he ended up filling in. And when the parents began to come get their children, he told me about an experience he had with one of the white ladies when she looked at him. You know, he wears a fro back then, and he looks like, you know, there's some guy off the street that's going to go like, yo, man, what's going on? Or, you know, back then they would have said, give me five. It wasn't that long ago, but anyway. They had problems with him. And so he shared that with me and said, man, I've been going to this church all this time, and these people just looking at me like, why this black man teaching my little white lily white kid? And I say, really? So I heard that and other people complaining about racism at this church. Now, the man, Bob Nichols, I will say, I think he's a good man. But for whatever reason, Calvary had a lot of issues with racism back then. Now, I don't know if they still do or not, so please don't. I'm not bad mouthing Calvary for all you thousands of people out there that go there. Anyway, 1988, Kenneth Copeland said the same exact thing. God is getting ready to use a black man like never. First going to be last, last going to be first. And I didn't budge at all. I realized something. When white people cannot tell you no, no, nigger, or no black person, or no African American, or no my friend, they'll say something very similar. Not now. Not now. You're great. You're smart, but not now. You're intelligent, but not now. And the not now is just as bad as go over there and sit in the corner, nigger. It's just as bad because it's racism. End of story. Okay? So I've asked the Most High five questions. And when I prayed this prayer, you know how you pray and then you know how you can pray and then there is real praying? Two different prayers. You can ask the Most High for the same thing, but you have one of them is your heart is in it. My heart was really into this. And I asked the Most High five questions. Okay? Then you say, Brother Seth, why do you name the show? Why do you name the host Five Smooth Stones? Five Smooth Stones. It's because of I asked the Most High five questions, and he gave me five solutions or five answers. I'm going to give you the answers first, and then I'm going to give you the questions. The answers, I know that's backwards, but I'm going to do it that way. The answers was the revelation of who the true Israelites are. That's one of the stones or one of the topics I now teach on, who the real Israelites are. These are the answers to the questions I have not yet asked. So follow me. You want to write this down, it's fine. Who are the true Israelites? The revelation of who the true Israelites are. You can know that. It's in the Bible. Number two, leprosy. What exactly is Bible leprosy? And I promise y'all got to tune in on Saturdays and listen to the archives. Number three, or topic number three, or stone number three, the one world government. What is truly going on in our world? Okay. Number four, the revelation or the exposing of white supremacy. Oh, my goodness. I realized the Most High showed me back in the day that I was no different from a white supremacist. Even though I was a black man, all of my standards come from racist white America, and that made me, and some of y'all listening right now, nothing more than a black person, a white person wrapped up in a black body, a white supremacist. This is why we can't work together and so forth. Okay? And the solution he gave me, you know, he always gives you solutions. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Yahweh, and what does it mean? How it's real and active in our world today, it is more, y'all got to understand, that's really what's going on. The one world government challenging the kingdom of the Most High. Anyway, those are the five solutions, the five stones. Okay? Again, real quickly, the revelation of Israelites, revelation of Bible leprosy, one world government, white supremacy, and the solution to all that madness. Now, here's the five questions. Most High. I didn't say it in these words, folks. I didn't say it in this order. But I said something to the effect of, Father, what is really going on in our world? I hear the news. I hear NBC, CBS. But I just really want to know what's really going on in our world. I just kept feeling played. Like I would hear things about some called the Illuminati, secret societies, or the Masons, or the Templars, or the Jesuits, or all these people. I heard that wars was playing like 30 years ahead of time. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to say it again. Wars have been planned like 30 years ahead of time. Not all wars, but some wars are planned. And I just began to understand that America wasn't the God-fearing country I thought it was. I started hearing all these little voices saying something. So I said, Most High. Back then I said, Father, what is going on? What is truly going on? And then here's another question I asked him. Okay? That's question number one. Number two, what's what you're using a black man? What's what you're using a black man? Kenneth Copeland said you're going to get ready to use a black man like never before, and the first going to be last, and last going to be first. Why would you use the black man when white people are going to be seeking your face and obeying your scriptures and obeying your word and doing everything right? Why would you, looking at white people live right or Indians live right or Chinese live right, why would you reach out and have and raise the black man above them? That sounds like racism. So I don't know if this is true, what Kenneth Copeland is saying or not. What's up with that? Then another question I had was question number two. Question number three was, can I see the world? Can I see the world? I didn't ask to be in the United States. United States is only one thought, one concept, one guess. One thought, it's like in the process of a day, we have thousands of thoughts. United States is just, to me, one thought, one perspective. Our form of democracy is only one way to be practiced. Everything about what we say, we just, this is not all there is. Can I see other nations? That was question number three. Again, not in this order. Another one was, I said, it doesn't matter to me what color Christ was. It doesn't matter. I said, right now I think he's blonde hair. He's a blonde hair, blue eye. And, yes, I believe that's my Savior. I don't care. I don't care. But I just, what happened to, I do desire to know, were there anybody in the Bible that was of black skin? You know, this is what I ask the Most High. This is what I travail deep in my spirit, crying out to know, folks. This is the real deal now. This is a serious testimony. Again, today we're going to look into the scriptures a bit, but today we want to talk about my testimony. What brought me to this whole revelation of us being Israelites, us being the true Jews of the Bible? Okay? Why did Brother Seth talk about this more than any other thing the last 5 years? Why did he keep talking about these five topics, these five stones, if you will? Okay? And the last thing, so that was number four, okay? Are there any blacks in the Bible? Number five, the last one was, I said to him, I said, I'm tired of people like Hilton Sutton, Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impe, all these people telling us about end time events. I say, Father, I want to understand the book of Revelation. I want to understand the book of Revelation for myself. Why do I have to keep going through these white people? And I know they're practicing racism. I know they got their petty beliefs, and they're trying to hold back certain people. I want to know for myself because I no longer trust these people. Those five questions, my friend, is what I asked the Most High. And the answers I was given were who the real Jews are. He answered my question about what's really going on by showing me the two kingdoms fighting each other right now as we speak. That's why we on Thursday nights, like I talked about, we're talking about the one world government. Right now we're talking about demons. We're talking about demonology. I give personal accounts of evil spirits. I face-to-face looked at, talked through. That's demons in people's bodies talking to me through them. This is real stuff, folks. I kid you not. May God destroy me if I'm lying about this whole demonology stuff. This is real life stuff I've went through. And so he began to show me what's really going on with these two kingdoms clashing, fighting each other, kingdom of the Most High and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh. It's so real. Far as I know, you might be a fake. You might be a figment of my imagination. But these kingdoms are real. Our world is full of evil spirits and our world is full of good spirits. In other words, angels, fallen angels, and angels that's not fallen. In your living room or wherever you're at right now, there is a presence of both. It's true, folks. I'm not kidding you. We're not on this planet by ourselves. We're spirits, but we just have a body. But there are spirits that don't have bodies. We cover that on Thursday nights, midnight to 2. Okay? So I asked the Most High these questions. And like I said, he revealed to me who the true Jews were. That changed my life. He showed me that this book we call the Bible is full of so-called black people. It's full of so-called black people. It's full of so-called black people. I say so-called because they wasn't called black people back then. They were just people of color. I kid you not, that Bible is full of nappy head, lock wearing, braid wearing, dark, charcoal dark to brown people. It wasn't until later on it started lightening up, and I go into that on Saturdays. Listen to the on the archives to me on Bible leprosy, and I will promise you there is no hatred. I know there's a lot of people out here preaching that, but they're full of hatred. They have issues with white people. I don't. I love all people. I'm all about truth. This brother here over at Five Smooth Stones, Brother Seth, is all about love. If it ain't got to do with love, I ain't going to touch it. All of you out there that's preaching hatred and down with the white man, pay the white man back, which I don't hear too much of that, but I'm just saying, those of you with that mentality, you ain't got the whole revelation. Because when you see the whole revelation, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Never have. Our weapons, or our warfare is with spiritual wickedness in high places. This is in Ephesians 6. That's the first scriptures I'm giving you. Ephesians 6, read the whole chapter. Now, so that was the first thing I got to answer-wise. Then talked to you, gave me the revelation about leprosy, like I just said, and that showed me the origin, how we became the different colors. That answered my question, that settled it in the Bible with how we got the different colors. Because as an albino, or a nation of albinos that don't have pigmentation, came out of the hills of Europe and began to mix, this is where you get the various colors. Okay, one end of the spectrum, you got albinism, and the other end of perspective, you got melanin, heavy melanin, dark-skinned people. And one doctor, scientist that really talks about this a lot is a woman by the name of Dr. Jewel Pokrum. I mispronounced her name the other day. It's Jewel, J-E-W-E-L, Jewel Pokrum, P O-O-K-R-U-M, Jewel Pookrum. Jewel Pookrum really goes into the melanin. If you understood the power of the earth that we wear called melanin, oh, my goodness, you would understand why we suffer as we suffer. I'm telling you, folks, it is powerful what the Most High did with this thing called earth or the melanin. And the Most High began to show me how melanin is not just in human beings. It's what gives us the hair color, the eye color, the skin color. Okay? Inside of black hair, it's all colors hairs. Blonde hair is inside of black. Red hair is inside of black. Brown hair is inside of black. Inside of that darkness, that blackness, is all the colors. So is it with black pupils. All eyes is inside of black pupils. All skin is inside of dark skin. You can put 500,000 black people on an island, come back in, let's say, I don't know, 20, 30 years, you're going to see some white people on that planet, on that little island. I'm going to say it again. You can put 50,000 black people on the island. You come back, you're going to see some blonde hair, blue eyes. But if you put 50,000 white people, if you put 500 million white people on an island, left them there for 500 years and come back, you're not going to see one dark chocolate person on that island. That should answer my question about leprosy again. We talk about that on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's in the archives, part one and part two. Check it out. That was the second answer the Most High gave me. Number three, this Illuminati, I mean the one world government, that was another answer to my question because I asked him what was going on. So he began to show me the two kingdoms. That's actually three and four, two stones right there, two topics. He gave me the answer to both, two stones, the two topics came out of one answer. I asked him what's really going on. He revealed to me the kingdom of darkness, the one world government, and the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of his dear son, or the kingdom of Yahweh that's to come to this earth. These two kingdoms is major, 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 major. We talk about this on Thursday night. That was for the answer. And then the last thing I talk about is white supremacy. This lie, straight from the pit, that's even hindering white people, that's even crippling white people, that's even embarrassing white people. This notion that white is superior, this foolishness, when everything comes from that darkness, from the dark earth, from the dark, from the Most High commanding the earth out of the darkness and the dust and the dirt and all of this. Just look outside your window right now. If you're driving along, look at the roads and tell me, what do you see? Green and brown, my friend. Everything come from that blackness. Now, while you're looking around out your window, look around for anything the color of white. No offense, no hatred, I'm being real. White skin is a mutation from black skin. This is not hatred, folks. This is science, and there's plenty of white people out there that will say, amen, brother. I don't hear no hatred in your voice. So how could you turn around and say you're superior when you come from that thing that you're saying you're superior to? But this is not a brownie point for black people to go feeling all proud. Black power, no, no, I don't think so. I know what you're trying to say. Yes, true power to these people. Amen. But I don't want to in any way. So, yes, I believe in black power from that standpoint. You know, when we was beat down, we needed somebody to say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Yes, absolutely. We are black and proud. All of us come from the dust of the earth. All of us come from black folks, so you should be saying, say it loud, you're black and you're proud. If you find yourself without much melanin, your original state was black. Everybody come from Africa while you're playing. Everybody. When that ark landed, it landed in Africa. Like Dick Gregory said in humor, the animals never left. So, what I'm saying And shalom, family, back to you in the chat room there. But anyway, all I'm saying is, family, that let's talk about today why you reject this message. Why do you have such a hard time with this message? Be bold enough. You should be confident in your knowledge of the scriptures to call the phone line. That number that's right to your left on the screen there, if you're on the internet, 760-283-0838. And say, Brother Seth, I've heard this message about so-called black people or African Americans being the Israelites, and here's what I have that's my concern. I have a question more than disagreeing with y'all. If you have a question or you disagree or you want to, this is your opportunity. This is one Israelite that's going to allow you to talk freely, share your thoughts while you disagree. And the Bible even commissions you to. So if you see a brother overtaking the fault, ye with your spiritual, go and restore one considering yourself. And that's your Bible. That's your Bible by your master. And you are a servant, so you're required to. This is not for me to just try to embarrass you or debate you. I'm going to share what I feel. You're going to share what you feel. We're going to share. We're going to go our separate ways. So while I'm waiting on you to get enough courage to do so, I'm going to continue to give my testimony. So anyway, those are the five answers I got from the five questions I asked at the Believers Convention 1988. It has transformed my life. It has taken me to 24 countries. Remember, one of the questions was, can I see the world? Well, I've been able to see India. I've been able to see China. I've been able to see Guam. I've been able to see Japan, if I mention that. I've been able to see Papua New Guinea. I've been able to see Australia. I've been able to see Israel many times. I went every year from 2001 to 2008. Making friends with a lot of people there in South Israel and really all over. Okay, been to the Caribbean, Brazil, list go on and on and on. But it wasn't so much that I got to go to these places. That's nothing. Lots of people travel. So what's that? The big thing with me traveling was who I got to talk to. People can say they went these places, the same 24 places, but I guarantee you they will not have the experiences that I've had. I guarantee you they will not meet the kinds of people I've met. Oh, how can you say that? Because I just believe, my friend, that my steps, not that I'm some super righteous person, because I'm far from it. I said far from it. But I am a part of the kingdom. And I do love the Most High, and I did mean those five questions. So I want to know what's going on our planet. I want to know if there's any blacks in the Bible. I want to know why in the world would you use a black man like never before? And the first is going to be last, and last is going to be first. Tell you the answer to that real quick. The reason why you're going to use black men like never before is because white people are going to hate this message. Yeah, they're going to love Jesus. But when you start talking about that Bible is predominantly black and you start revealing how white skin came to the picture, a lot of them ain't doing nothing but worshiping themselves, and they will not be able to preach that message to their little white children. It's just that simple. They've been taught all their life, black people are good people. You know, you should always help them out, tell them what to do, lead and guide them. When they find out that their mama and daddy was in that garden, that their mama had locks, and their daddy had a black, rough beard, braided maybe, nappy head folk. The Israelites was a bunch of niggas. Too much for them. Like Farrakhan said, I don't agree with everything Farrakhan said, but this is one thing he nailed. Farrakhan said a lot of black people and white people gonna say, well, I don't even want to go to heaven if a nigga gonna run it. Some of y'all probably wonder, why are you using the word nigga? I don't like that word. Neither do I. I'm just talking about reality. This is what a lot of people think every day on our in our country. Sorry. We just do. It's not how I talk. I tell people all the time, please don't use that language. Please don't say this. Please don't say that word. I'm today showing you the heart of America and why there's going to be a great falling away. That's another thing I found. Now, that is the great falling away. You get millions of people saying, I can't handle this message of Israel being black. And, oh, my God. You don't think that's the great falling away? Please, that's millions of people walking from the church. It's already starting to happen. Some people are there in the church. They ain't left the church, but their heart is gone after they hear this information. They can't handle it. And still, some of them are black. It's what's so crazy. Some black folks have more issues with this than white people do. They just can't fathom humbling that the Messiah sitting on the right hand is a black man. What? And then when you say that God made man of the dust of the earth, their whole thing is, and even I some days have issues with this, Most High, you chose brown, and that's what you was talking about when you said in Genesis, I believe it 1 or 2 says, where he says, it is good. What? So you're looking at some charcoal man, a brown-colored man, and you say, it is good. You look at the earth and the birds and the giraffes, everything, all this color, and you say, it is good. I can't sometimes wrap my mind around it. You know why? I've been raised and birthed and bred in white supremacy. So, folks, it's time for us to rise up, to grow up. I want to do a test on you right now, you listener. I want to present a test to you right now. And if you can pass this test, you really don't need to listen to nothing else I'm saying. You can go your own separate way. I would just encourage you not even to listen to me if you can pass this test I'm about to drop on you. I want to play an imagery game with you. I want you to close your eyes. Come on, ain't nobody going to do nothing to you. You're at home by yourself. You're driving the road by yourself. Close your eyes, and I want you to think about the Lord, the Most High. Well, no, not the Most High, but his son, Yeshua. Of Jesus and the disciples. Think about Jesus and the disciples. In your church, you call him Jesus, I'll call him Jesus. Think about Jesus and the disciples. Close your eyes and imagine him feeding those multitudes. 5,000, he fed. I want you to imagine this. I want you to tell me, be very honest, and tell me, in your mind, do you see a group of white people anywhere? Was it the 5,000? Was it the Messiah himself? Or was it his disciples? Truth of the matter is, Mr. Newton, put you on the spot. Truth of the matter is, guess 202. 10202, and everybody else out there listening, I'm messing with some people in the chat room. If you be honest, if you saw the disciples and the Messiah and our Savior all looking like a typical day in Atlanta, inner city, you, my friend, or an exception. I don't know how you got that. I don't know who you are that you're able to see that picture of all those dark-skinned people. But, my friend, you don't need me to tell you nothing. Good day. Thanks for listening. But I guarantee you, most of y'all saw some white people somewhere. If you did, you are who I'm talking to today. You are a victim of white supremacy. All brother says, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Here is why it matters. Get your pen out. I want y'all to write. I'm going to give you some reasons where you're going to, I'm telling you, you're going to say, I should have been writing that down. That's good. Here is the most important reason. Again, this is my testimony. Here's what I found out to be the most vital reasons why you need the proper image when you close your eyes. I know who I am in Christ, and that's all I need. I got Jesus, and that's all I need. Believe me, you want to have a pit out right about now. First and foremost, if you don't know this revelation of who the true Israelites are, it does look like, here it is, number one. Number one, the Most High look like he is biased. He looks like he's picking on us. He looks like he favors white people and white nations and white neighborhoods and white schools and white colleges, and he has a beef with black nations, which is why they're suffering, and black people, black education, and black scholars, because they don't get no holler. He looks like he's for one people and against another people. And whether or not we want to acknowledge it as a people, talking about so-called black people, we hold bitterness against him. We may not say it because we're raised as a people. Black people are very different. We know not to curse God. We know not to say crazy stuff about God. We just keep it inside of us and not tell no one. The only way you can really tell this hatred we have or this resentment we have towards the Father is look at our behavior. Yeah, we'll go to church every Sunday, but are we going to be serious with the relationship? How can you relate and truly be a son to a father that's constantly picking on you? Yeah, you might go around him, but you got issues with him, and that's why you're not obedient, because you know he ain't in your best interest and you don't trust him. That's number one. Number two, if you don't understand the revelation of so-called African Americans, and not just blacks in America, but Israel is scattered. They're in South Africa. They're in West Africa. They're in India. They're in China. The Bible says that the Most High would scatter Israel to all nations, and there's only really 70 nations. The Most High don't acknowledge somebody taking some tanks and guns and going and fighting, conquering a little piece of land. There's really only 70 nations. That's why we have trouble with Israel being so white, because the world is a predominantly dark planet. Of course, the United Nations is 92% non-white. So if the Most High scattered Israel into this regions of non-whiteness, when a remnant of Israel come back, like they say in half of 1948 when Israel became a nation, the Jews are returning. They should have returned from all 70 of those predominantly non-white countries, and in Israel today should be a non-white nation. We have trouble with the lily white looking place calling themselves the true Jews. Yes, we do. So does the Most High, because they don't fit Scripture. Nothing the Jewish people have been through is Scripture. I'm sorry. You think, what? What did you just say? Say it again. Say, I'll write that down. I said nothing that the Jewish people as a people have been through in Scripture. That's no hatred. That's no disrespect. Again, much love to these people. I mean that, folks. I'm not playing when I say that. Much love. But I'm just talking about Scriptures and who lines up, who don't. Who lines up, who don't. I'm looking at history and Bible. History and Bible. History versus Bible. Bible versus history. That's what I'm looking at. The Holocaust was horrible. I don't wish it upon my enemies. The Holocaust, my friend, have absolutely, positively nothing to do with the Scriptures. It's not in the Scriptures. Nowhere. When you find that out, please let me know. Okay? So anyway, back to the answers. I said, number one, Most High look partial. He look like he's picking on us. He look like he don't favor us. So the only way you're going to have a true relationship with him is you're going to have to understand why we're going through what we're going through. I'm going to hopefully get into this. Once you begin to see that the Most High said in Deuteronomy 28 and 46 that Israel is to go through certain things. Deuteronomy 28 and 46, Moses said certain things that was going to be up on Israel. And I know I'm going to go through all these scriptures, but again, today I'm sharing my testimony. Y'all going to have to listen to the previous episodes I will get into the scriptures some, but today you're just going to have to trust me on the scriptures. Okay, I said Deuteronomy 28 is Moses talking about what's going to happen to Israel, blessings or curses. It's full of half. Well, the first 15 verses is like the blessings, and the rest of it is the cursings. 15 to 68 is full of the cursing. And Moses going on to say in Deuteronomy 28 and 46 that these will be upon you, talking about the blessings or the curses. These will be upon you, talking about the blessings or the curses. These will be upon you forever, says, and I quote verse 46, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. One more time. And they, he was speaking of the blessings or the curses, shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. So if you want to know who a true Jew is, a true Israelite is, a true descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bloodline I'm talking about, you look at those blessings and see what nation, not individuals. That's not how I live. No, not you individually. You are part of a nation. We're a nation within a nation. I'm talking about black people. And, brother, you lost me there because we're part of America. I'm sorry. You're not a part of America. I pay my taxes. I know. We die in wars. My family, yeah, I know. We should be. Absolutely, positively we should be. But are you truly? When you go to your home, is there any problem for you to get a glass of water? No. Is there any problem for you laying down on your bed and relaxing? No. Is there any problem with you using your restroom? No. That's because that's your home. Now look at how we are just trying to get a drink of water, so to speak. We're just trying to lay down, so to speak. We're just trying to go to the bathroom, so to speak, in this country, and we have hell doing any one of those things. I'm talking about getting positions in America. I'm talking about just being peaceful, not having to not worry about when our kids go out at night. Just we do not have that. And so, yes, it should be our country. But the reality is, it's truly not. And the most important thing about this is the Most High said it's not. He said, I will scatter you among the heathen in all four corners. I'm coming out of Psalms 106:27. I'm coming out of, hope you have your pen ready, Jeremiah 18 and 17. I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. Leviticus 26 and 33. I will scatter you among the heathen. Deuteronomy 28 and 64. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people. Deuteronomy 32 and 26. I said I will scatter them into corners. He has scattered Israel. Israel, my friend, has been pushed out of the land by the Most High, scattered into every single nation. If all the nations is 92% black or 92% non-white, then when Israel return, after they've been in that land these 400 years, because he did talk about 400 years, after they return, that Israel, that land, should be 92% non-white. Simple math, simple, simple, simple. So, back to the answers. Again, when the Most High answered my question, number one, I was talking about why, some of you are saying, why is this important? What does that do to my salvation? The reason this is important, because without this knowledge, the Most High look like he's partial. He look like he's picking on us. Okay, let's move on to number two. Another reason. Another reason is if Revelation is vitally important that you embrace this message of who true Israel is and not look at it as another message by Jesus being black, is because it helped so-called black people understand why they have it the way they have it. When we start living out those curses in Deuteronomy 15 through 68, because nobody, no nation, is obedient enough to be living out those blessings. No nation can claim, remember, whoever living this out is true Israel. So when you're trying to figure out where the Israelites are, who Israel is, you're going to look at for these particular blessings that Moses is going to be on them, or you're going to look for these particular curses that's going to be on them. Leviticus 26 also is full of blessings and curses. It's full of characteristics of what Israel is going to go through, I should say. It's full of characteristics of what Israel is going to go through, okay? So that's Leviticus 26. But really the whole Bible, but we like these two chapters because there's more prophecies in these two chapters probably than each chapter in the whole Bible. Again, Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. But back to Deuteronomy 28. Look at the blessings. See who is living this out as a nation. Look at the curses. See who's living this out as a nation. So y'all got a lot of homework, okay? So that's what I'm doing today if you would allow me to even give you a such thing. Okay, you got homework. When you read Deuteronomy 28, there is a people that live out those curses. So clear, it's crazy. But there's other scriptures all over the Bible that talk about our state and what we would go through as the people, folks. Trust me, I haven't scratched the surface, but I don't want to repeat myself every week giving out all these scriptures. Again, listen to the archived message on Amazing Proof of Black Biblical Israel, or Black Biblical Jews, 101. Again, it's entitled Amazing Proof of Black Biblical Jews, 101. And go back to listen to part one, part two, and then listen to me today, and you'll see why I don't go into those scriptures, because I've already went into a lot of them, okay? But there's a lot more to go into. But today I decided I was going to talk about again this topic. So let's jump back. Okay, now, like I was saying, okay, another reason we need to know this information, this revelation of who the true Jews are and where they're at, how they're scattered in all four corners and going through Deuteronomy 28, be it the blessings or the curses, and I can tell you right now, they're going to be going through the curses because no nation is going through the blessings. Nobody on the planet is. Okay? All right, so now that we can understand why we act the way we act as black people. You say, I don't know about that because we act pretty crazy. Some of y'all think like that. We act pretty crazy. We just can't come together. All this crawfish mentality, one try to make it, the other try to pull them down. We've heard that since we was kids. We just can't. We can make white people very wealthy. We're very smart. We got doctors, lawyers, inventors, scientists. We can do all this. We have the brightest. We have some of the brightest minds on the planet. But yet we can't even have a strong bank. I mean, something like a Chase or Bank of America. We can't. Okay, so you're saying these kinds of things. You're trying to figure out, why we act the way we act, why we do what we do, why we struggle in every single aspect of life. Why we're at the bottom in the area of religion, history, education, socially, why we're at the bottom, health care, medicine, why we suffer more than the other people, housing and zoning issues, why we're at the bottom, anything regarding the environment, why we suffer more in this area than anybody else. Our neighborhood being built around certain places. When it comes to laws and rules and bylaws, more laws have been aimed at us than other people. Why we suffer more in the area of judicial and judgment or correction. Okay, why we suffer more in that area than any other people. When you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you look at all these areas of life, such as politics and even the entertainment world, something as simple as that. Why, yeah, we got all these celebrities, but they're pimps, they're little whores, basically, for some people making more dollars. Yeah, they are known. They ain't got their little red carpet experiences, but the people that are running them is far more wealthy. Hold on a second. I want to just realize we had a call, and I didn't realize he was holding his hand so long. So I'm going to go ahead and open the line, let this brother ask a question. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to ignore you. So call it at area code 804. Go right ahead with your comment.
Peace. I throw that call since ain't nobody else choose to call in. I called in yesterday, remember?
Oh yeah, Brother Jojo, right?
Yes. Now I just have this question here. Not really one question, but is there any records that came out of Egypt? Was there any records showing that, we was in Egypt?
There's lots of records that show us in Egypt. They're written on the high. They're written on the pyramids. They're written on the pyramids. Show a lot of Hebraic customs or traditions. They're written in stone, ancient stone, called, like I just said, hieroglyphics, or some people say, well, hieroglyphics, or some people say, I think they call them Metuneta. There's different names for it, but, yeah, they're written in stone. But the biggest proof, JoJo, if I may call you, I'm hoping you want me to use your name on here, but if the
Joseph
biggest,
Isaiah.
Joseph Isaiah?
Joseph Isaiah. My grandma gave me that name.
And you got a Hebrew name, so you sure definitely need to answer to this. Joseph Isaiah, powerful, powerful Hebrew name. But anyway, your life is your proof. Your life, Joseph, Joseph Isaiah, your name is your proof. I don't even know you, but I'm going to jump out here and make a gamble. I bet your lifestyle is that of Deuteronomy 28. I guarantee you, when I say your lifestyle, you're not. It's never just you. You're linked to a family, a lineage, a people. So when I say you, Joseph, Isaiah, I'm not talking about just one person. I'm talking about a whole slew of people. I guarantee you, if you be so kind, I'm not going to ask you to do it today, but if you started to share and talk about your family history, I bet you the stories you share, I could literally follow you in the scriptures. Here's a verse, Isaiah 51 and 20. It says, your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as wild bulls in nets. I'm going to repeat that. Your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as wild bulls in nets. This is an ancient thousand-year-old scripture where Israel had trouble with their young men. They was hanging out on the head of the streets. It said they lie at the head, meaning they're not productive. But then it said they're like wild bulls. A bull is one of the strongest animals you can have. So that means they were full of strength, but there was some net. There was some net that would stop them or block them or hinder them. And then it goes on to say, the scripture goes on to say, they are full of fury, anger. We have a whole culture called wrath that's nothing more than young people doing what they do. Full black men leads it. Full of anger. You're not an angry rapper. You're not a very good rapper. Everything is anger. But it says that this anger is nothing more than judgment. It's the fury of God or Yah or Yahweh. So your life is your proof. Deep down, Joseph Isaiah, in your soul of soul, you are Israel by just your experiences. You've asked, why do we go through this? Why are we having it so hard? Why are we at the bottom in regards to religion? Why are we taught these lies? Why are we listening to, why we're constantly bombarded by white supremacy in the area of religion? You've talked about why we're struggling in the area of history, not knowing who we are. You've talked about why we're at the bottom of the education arena. Correct me if I ever say a lie. If I get it off, say, well, no, oh, not that, Brother Seth. You wonder why we suffer in the area of health care and medicine more. You wonder why we go through the racism we go through in the area of housing and discrimination. You wonder why. I'm sitting up here telling you today that your life is the most documented people on the planet. I didn't even ask you your last name. You got a Hebrew first name, Joseph, Isaiah. But go ahead, and if you don't mind, if you don't want to do this, fine. Spit that last name out for me.
Isaiah Johnson, Joseph Isaiah Johnson.
That's what I wanted you to say, Johnson. That has absolutely nothing to do with no Israelite. So what I'm saying is John does, but Johnson? So all I'm saying is there was no Johnsons in the Bible. The way that's mixed and twisted there, that's the European. So all I'm saying to you is we're carrying a lot of these names. We carry names like Smith and Miller, and if I start asking you what family lineage you used to, you're connected with, if I say right now, what is your family lineage? You know, who are you with? Who are family? Okay, that's your last name. What's your family last name? You're going to spit out some European at some point because these names were given us by slave owners. All I'm saying, no hatred towards them because, you know, we all are pawns in this game, man. We're all are pawns in the game. Yes, the Most High love us. Yes, we are special. But he is going to get his will done. This stuff is predestinated, okay? Certain things are supposed to happen to these people called Israel. Certain things are supposed to happen to these people that is supposed to serve Israel, I mean oppress Israel or rule over Israel. They are fulfilling prophecy. We are fulfilling prophecy. So we're all pawns in the game. You just got to know which side are you on and live your life, hopefully, in fear and adoration and admiration of the Most High and get his blessings upon your life. That's the best you can do because we all will never really, most of us, well, none of us really, no earthlings is never going to really be in a position of power unless you just walk with the Most High. We are all pawns in the game is what I'm trying to say. So all I'm saying to you, my brother, I hope I'm answering your question, maybe going off a little bit, but I'm just basically saying you asked if there was any proof, any documents. You really can't trust documents because documents are political. I can name documents. I can. I just told you one, written on the pyramids. I mean, what more can you get? That's thousands of years old. But I'm saying documents can be political. You can find documents to support anything because mankind is just that wicked. But look at your life, Joseph Isaiah.
True.
That ain't no movie script. Did nobody come and say, okay, you the uncle to Joseph Isaiah, then act this way. Uncle, act this way. Mom, act this way. Son, act. Nobody can control y'all. Y'all are living out real hardcore. I'm not saying everything is bad. I'm just saying in your life, whatever it is, good or bad, whether you be a wealthy man on this line, I don't know, or not, I guarantee you the people that are around you, your relatives, is living out Deuteronomy 28. If your mother and mother's mother was brought here over on slave ships, I guarantee you everything I just said earlier is correct.
Okay. Sir, I have one more question. Now, I've been looking at some of this Kemet stuff, right, and I heard a brother say that, you know, there's no evidence showing that Israel, you know, there's no interpretation of Israel being recorded in Egypt, only Palestine.
I know, and I probably can tell you who said it. That's how much I've done my homework. You're probably talking about Egyptologists.
That's what confuses me. You know, I'm not denying that I'm not Israel because I know ain't but one person come over here and leg irons and neck irons. Many people came over here in ships, but ain't but one people come over here in iron. You know, but, you know, we have some enemies of, you know, amongst us that's, you know, distracting people like me. Now, when I was over in Egypt, I had the thought that, hey, maybe this is Israel that was in Egypt. And the people that came out of Egypt and, you know, that went into Israel are the same people. So, I mean, you know,
well,
but for some reason.
Let me say this to you, okay? Joseph, Isaiah, two things I would do, you should do. You should look up both of those names and see who those people were. That would really inspire you. Let me address the Egyptology. This notion that there's no proof of Israelites, you got to do your own homework. You and I talked a little bit, and I know you. You are a researcher, okay? I got on my page, 5 Smooth Stones, that's blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. If you'll go to that website, go there and look at my page. Click on the links with all those books. I got like 30 books going into detail how so-called African-American, and not all black people now, remember, the whole planet at one point was black. I'm going to say it again. The whole planet at one point was black. Wicked people, good people, whole nine yards, it was all dark-skinned people. They weren't called black people then. It was just people of color. So Israel was dark. Jebusites, Amorites, all these people. Europe, back in the biblical days, Europe wasn't even formed yet. Matter of fact, the Grimaldis was a black nation, a black people, and they was in Europe before whites were. Come on now. Somebody got to tell this thing right. Again, there's a book called Stolen Legacy in my library. Check that out. Mr. James does a good job breaking that down. Profound author. Okay?
Okay.
And he even say some good things that come out of Egypt. So here's what I want to say to you, Joseph. Isaiah, I'm going to, for the rest of this broadcast, since we don't have nobody calling in, and I've been doing this in 24 countries, and I keep, every time I put it, I used to go on this radio show in Cincinnati. It was an AM radio show, and I used to constantly say, you know, if anybody can't correct me, call in. Nobody never will call in. And it wasn't so much they thought they blew me off as silly, just hilarious. It's the truth. They don't have no answer. So I just acknowledge your Egyptology friend to do the same thing. Call in and tell me that my lifestyle is not Deuteronomy 28. You can talk about Asar, Aset, and the Egyptian god and the sun gods and the 16 crucified sages and all that. Okay, you got a good point. It sounds kind of good. But ask me this. I tell the Egyptologists the same thing I tell these preachers. Preachers want to say, oh, this done past Christ, I'm done away with it. Well, if Christ done away with it, and to the Egyptologist, Christ ain't even came. I asked him this question, and nobody can give me an answer. You see nobody calling but you. The answer, the question is, if Christ didn't come, Egyptologist, and if to the preachers, Christ done away with all this, why are we living it? And they run away. Joseph, Isaiah, they run away then. Why are we living it? Moses say in Deuteronomy 28 and 68, when we put in ships and sold as slaves. Why were we put in ships and sold as slaves? Why were we put in ships and sold as slaves? The Most High said in Deuteronomy 28 and 64 that I will scatter you among the heathen, among all people. Why were we scattered among all people? And they run away. Joseph, Isaiah?
Yeah, listen.
Verse 41 says, you shall beget sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them. They can be taken into captivity. We can't even enjoy our sons and daughters because they're taken into captivity. Why are we living it? If Christ came and done away with it and his blood and done away with it, I understand what Christ's blood has done. It has changed some things. We no longer have to work for our own salvation. Now we have the blood of Christ. Christ is our righteousness. I understand that. But Israel is going to fulfill prophecy, and Christ is going to come on the scene, and he's going to fulfill prophecy. Because the Father, his mentor, his guide, is going to make sure all of us is fulfilling prophecy. So you, my friend, on this listener, you listener, Mr. John, Joseph, Isaiah, and me, Brother Seth, and all these other listeners, we are going to fulfill prophecy, whether we like it or not. The United States has a part to play. Europe has a part to play. Africa has a part to play. The African nations, all of us have a part to play, that it might be fulfilled. We are doing this.
Can I ask you a question?
Hold on. Let me finish my one little point. I do want you to ask that question, but let me finish this. I apologize. It's a little lengthy here, but let me get this out. All I'm saying to you is everything is happening that it might be fulfilled. Israel is living out prophecy. We can try to explain it away. But when you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you see messages like the way it says in verse, here's another verse where it says, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. That's verse 32. And when you look at scripture where it says, thou shalt, you're going to have a wife, verse 30, number 30. It talks about how you're going to have a wife, but another nation. You as a nation, Israel, is going to have wives, just millions of women. But another nation, millions of men, is going to come lie with her. That's verse 30. We lived out that. We lived out that. We lived out that. So when I tell the preachers that, and I tell these Egyptologists that, why are we living it out? If we're not Israel, I hear you talking about the 16 crucified sages. I heard you talking about our stars set, how the sun gods and you know, the 12 constellations is a representative of the 12 disciples. I hear all of that. And it is intriguing. Egyptology is intriguing. But the bottom line is, why in the world are we living out these scriptures? That's what makes me an Israelite. That's what makes me say, I'm tired of fighting this truth. It just makes sense. I will scatter you among the heathen. I'll bring you back, you know, in Egypt in ships. We lived out that. When it says Israel will sigh, they will sigh, which means to say, man, gosh, or my goodness, or S-H-I-T, or D-M, you know. All these things we say is sighing. Sighing. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to good they have no knowledge. Isaiah 20:4, 30:12, my people trust in oppression and perversion. Psalms 44:11, and I know you hold, just hold your point. You know, we both, I'm just letting you have a whole line with me, okay? Psalms 44:11, 12, and 37, I'll make you a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. Joseph Isaiah, is so-called black people today a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among all nations? Are the nations not looking at us shaking their head? I'm saying, who is living out these scriptures? In Leviticus 26, it says that this nation called Israel is going to have it 7 times harder than any other nation. About how hard do we have it more so than other people? What's the number? Do we have it 1 time harder, 2 times harder? Do we have it 3 times harder than white people? How hard do we have it? Scripture said we'll have it 7 times harder. Moses said, I will hiss to the nations of the north. He said he would hiss, that means say, hey, you, come here. That's hissing. He said he would hiss to the nation of the north to come and oppress us. Joel 2 talked about a nation that comes, and before them is like the Garden of Eden. But when they get done, it's like a wilderness. It goes on to say that nobody's going to escape these people. Who is that people? We know who we are. Now let's figure out who's ruling over us. Scripture talk about a nation that coming from the north, a wicked nation coming from the north. Woe to him that coming from the north. So,
but just what I
want
to know, bro.
Go right ahead.
Hello. When is he gonna start working through us? You know, when is we gonna start seeing signs that, you know, that he gonna, you know, that the work is beginning through us?
What work?
Fires, Revelation chapter 12. When is we going in the wilderness?
Brother, how much wilderness can you get? If you cut
I mean,
you sold
you know,
slaves
we,
and you...
I mean, we see all the chaos that, you know, that this albino is causing, and we can't save ourselves, you know, from this. Somebody gonna have to come and do something, you know.
Okay, now hold on. Let's make a correction here. Now, at this show, we can't call white people albinos. Furthermore, they are us. We are them. Didn't you hear me yesterday on the show talking about how
I understand that?
Okay, now hold on.
Yeah.
We got to get this right. Hold on, because we got some white brothers and sisters listening right now, and they got that good heart. We probably got some haters out there, but we got some that have those good hearts, and I don't want to offend the righteous. I don't care who they are. Now, the wicked, I kind of feel you on that, but what about the righteous? So let's remember we got righteous white folks listening. Okay, now let's say this another way. Hold on. Let's say this another way. You say when, you know, these albinos. Okay, let's just say this nation who the Most High, because it's about the Most High. The white folk ain't your problem, my brother. They never been your problem. White people ain't your problem.
Your rebellious kinfolk is your problem. They did not fulfill scripture, and they're living out Deuteronomy 28, the curse. But here's the good news I'm going to share with you right now, because I think you need it, because that's what you're basically asking me. When is this going to change? When is this going to change?
Yes.
The scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, only then, will you hear from heaven. That's one scripture. Let's read this scripture. Second Chronicles 7:14. This is not to the nations of the world. This is to Israel. That's the only my people. It's Israel.
I'm on this. What could I say there?
Hold on, because you asked a specific question. I want to give you this answer. I'm more than happy to let you just stay on the show with me and ask as many questions, let somebody else call. Right now, nobody else is calling. They're listening, but they're not calling. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads this, Joseph, Isaiah. If my people, which are called by my name, everybody is not called Israel. This scripture, you know, it's a lot of church folk try to read this scripture after the congregation. This scripture is only to Israel. Listen, if my people, which are called by my name, who was his name? Same as Yahweh or Yah or Yahweh, okay? Now, that can get technical, because we can talk about how Christ, anyway, the bottom line is, we're the only people called by the name of the Most High, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble. You should be writing that down if you don't mind, Joseph, Isaiah. Humble. That's the first thing. Humble yourself. And pray. That's number two. And seek. Number three. Seek what? My face. And turn. Humble, pray, seek. Humble, pray, you got to do this as a nation, not individually. Of course, you want to do it individually, but until this nation does this, humble, pray, seek, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. You're going to hear them first from heaven, and I will forgive, that's number two, their sins, and I will heal. I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal. Don't that sound like what you need right now? You're saying, man, when is it going to change? Heal, you need. We need as a nation. Healing as a nation. Forgiving as a nation. And we need him to hear us. Hear, forgive, heal. Hear, forgive, heal. What you're talking about is the healing process. You died, you can't wait to get the healing process. Well, it ain't going to come till we do the other. Well, actually, that's not true. Then there's another thing he said in the scriptures. That the two ways Israel can be restored. One of them is, I just read one of the ways that they do that. But then the Most High said that he is going to rescue Israel, because the heathen is going to start to boast that he did this to Israel. And he's going to have mercy. I want you to stay with me. Stay with me, Joseph, Isaiah.
Sure.
Stay with me, please. Please hear me out. This is what is really going to salvage us. What I'm about to share with you is really what's going to happen, because I'm going to tell you right now, Israel ain't looking like they're about to repent anytime soon.
That's what I was trying to say. Not in this lifetime.
So listen. Here's the other thing he said. He goes on to say that, and I'm trying to look that scripture up. I didn't realize I was going to be talking about this particular scripture. Otherwise, I would have had it up. I have a lot of scriptures in front of me, but this is not one of them. But he goes on to say that after 400 years, he's going to have mercy upon his people. Because basically, well, the scripture says, let me just stick with what the scripture says. Scripture says that the oppressors would begin to boast that they're the ones that did this to Israel. They're the ones that's doing this to Israel. Israel is in their control, instead of them saying the Most High have come against Israel. Because these powerful people, they really know. I mean, I know it's hard to comprehend, but a lot of people in power, they know exactly who we are, and they know exactly why we're suffering. And instead of them telling the truth to the world that the Most High have turned against his people, They're saying they did it. Because if they didn't know who we are and they was just boasting they did it, then the Most High couldn't really give them because they don't know no better. But the reason why he's going to judge these people and salvage his people, rescue us, help us, rescue us, is because these people know exactly who we are. They know history. You think me being a person, don't even have a college degree, if I can stumble upon this, you mean to tell me powerful people that can listen to any phone line they want to, that have access to the museums, and they know who we are? Trust me. I'm not talking about everybody white. I'm talking about powerful people that pull the strings on our planet. They know who Israel is, and they know who they are. And because they don't give proper glory to the Most High, he said, and I'm trying to talk and type, knowing my wife is the one that will look this up and have it for me, so I'm having to type, but he said because they boasted and said, we do this. You know,
yeah, see.
Nobody's even seeing us. He's going to come against them and rescue his people. So that's two different ways Israel is going to be salvaged. If they turn, repent, call him, and then he said, the second way was he's going to remember his covenant with Abraham, and the fact that these people was boasting that they did this to us. So remembering Abraham, the covenant made with Abraham, that we was going to be a great people. How going to be a great people if we sitting up serving these people forever, been mistreated? So he's going to remember his covenant with Abraham and the fact that these people are boasting, and we're going to rescue us. That's the second way Israel is going to be restored. And I'm telling you, Joseph Isaiah, that I promise you that second way is the way we're coming out, not the first way. We don't look like we're about to slow down any time. We have always been a knucklehead people and look like we're sticking true to that.
But I'm thinking we're going to talk about like Revelation chapter 12. He's going to have to come and get us, and you know, because we ain't going to come out ourselves with all these detachments we got here in the United States.
Well, I can say this. All scripture is going to be period. Like I said earlier, your life, my life, America's life, China's life, Japan's life, you be an individual or be it a nation, we are going to fulfill prophecy that it might be fulfilled this, that it might be fulfilled that. That's what our life is all about. That's why I chose to live my life as a believer. That's why I stick with the Bible. That's why I'm never going to run. I don't care how much I fall down. I'm never going to run away from the scriptures. Never, ever, 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 ever. If the Most High still have mercy upon me. So all I'm saying to you, unless I just lose my mind, I'm going to always know, because everything, we're all got to line up with this book, man. Everything, every event, every war, everything that happened on this planet have to line up with the Bible. Everything. You can't name one thing that's going to happen that's outside of this book. So I'm letting you know, you've been listening to the Egyptians. Listen to me, my brother. Listen to the Holy Spirit, I should say.
I'm 48 years old, so, you know, can't nobody like really stir me away, because I'm weighing it, you know, and the one thing that sticks to me, like I believe, ain't but one people came over here, that was us, and leg eyes and things, you know. That's one thing that really, really, really stands out with me. But it's just a lot of missing links, you know. And I see judgment coming here on America, and where do I fit in being safe? If I'm Israel, how is I going to be safe when all this judgment getting ready to come to the United States?
I just read to you that my people have to humble themselves, pray. If you pray, obviously you want to be believing in God. You have to believe in Yahweh in order to pray, and you're going to have to believe the scriptures, and the scriptures talks about his son coming to this earth and living and dying. So you obviously going to have to believe the scriptures. You're going to have to live what you read, what you hear. You got to seek the Most High. He said, my people, again, I'm going to read the scripture. I want you to really focus on this now because I'm telling you, don't look for no other way. There is no other way. The Bible talks about those that try to find other doors, another passage. You're going to have to come through the gate like everybody else. You have to come through the Messiah. You have to come through his example of how the Father is and what the Father wants and what the Father needs. Christ was our example of what the Father is all about. If my people, again, which are called by my name, that is not everybody trying to use the scripture. That is only Israel. Called by my name, because everybody ain't called by his name. You got Italians, they ain't no name called by. You got Scottish, you got certain African countries. I'm just saying, not about a white and black. I mean, you got all kind of people in China. You got all types of Chinese cultures that ain't not called by his name. You got all types of African cultures not called by his name. But this people is called by his name. If they would humble themselves and pray and seek, humble, pray, and seek my face and turn. Humble, pray, seek, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I, here come the muscle, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal. We need that healing. And heal their land. Heal their land. You probably say, their land, wait a minute, I don't have no land. I'm living in a house. No, what he's saying is when he heal your land, that means you have returned. A remnant is going to return back to Israel and show them get real land. And if you don't return, because he said only a remnant was going to return to Israel. That's the prophecy. That's got to be fulfilled. Again, every prophecy got to be fulfilled. A remnant of Israel shall return. They've already started. That's who I go see every year from 2001 to 2008. I went to see Israelites living in Dimona and living in South Israel, or the Judean hills. I mean, South Israel, living in the Judean hills of Israel. So I actually go witness that every year. Okay, I hadn't been in a while, but I'm going back. But anyway, when he heals your land, that means you're going to become a nation again. It's happening. It's going to happen. Now,
well,
hold on. One other thing.
Talking
now,
too
on,
long. I'm trying to be patient, you know. I'm being patient, but you just go on a rant. Man, you talking now. No, what I wanted to say was I was on my way over to Israel, and the brother that's over there in Dimona wouldn't even let me over there in the community so I could try to live that way.
Well, first and foremost, let me just explain something. I don't know what's happened with Dimona. I don't know if there was a miscommunication, but I know one thing. The last thing they want is for somebody to turn away for many, many reasons. They want
turn me away. Because I bought my ticket and everything. I told the people here, I'm leaving here. I'm going over there. So they must have thought I was joking. So one of the brothers called me, and my wife told them that, you know, that I'm supposed to leave, you know, in a couple of hours. And they called back about an hour later and tell me and my wife that don't come. So I don't know what the hell is going on. And we got my people over there, and I can't come?
My brother, I want you to hear me out and hear me correct. I'm going to actually give you names, okay? And I ain't hide nothing. I'm going to give these names over the air. You're going to see a brother by the name of Prince Emmanuel. I guarantee you he ain't going to say you can't come. That's one brother. Write that name down, Prince Emmanuel Ben Yehuda, okay? You're going to see this brother, Dr. Avi Melik. I guarantee you will be sitting up in Israel in the next week if you got money to get over there. I guarantee you they ain't going to say don't come, because what they want people to do is come to the land and they say welcome home. They want you to tour your where we've been scattered. They want us to see. They want you to see the where you come from. Well,
I bought my ticket.
Hold on. They want you to see that. They want you to experience the culture. They want you to taste the vegetarian meals they have, because you know they're vegans. They want you to see that culture. They want you to actually return. They want people to return back home. I didn't join them because I don't agree with every single thing they believe, but I do believe we have common beliefs that we are Israel. I personally believe it's not time to go to Israel, okay, whereas they believe it is time. I think that whole regime, that Israeli regime, has got to fall, and I'm not hoping, and I'm not going to play a part in it, but I just do believe that it's going to fall. I think the Arab nations is going to get the best of them Israelis, and they're going to fall. They're not going to continue to fear the United States. I think Israel is going to experience a great fall. Now, when that nation exists no more, or the leadership is whatever taken over by the Arab, people are going to say, well, what happened? Well, God forgot his people. Is it over with? And then the true Israelite is going to emerge without a single gunshot, without a single weapon. And that's what's happening right now in your ears. I'm telling you, with Israel, and as this knowledge becomes more permanent in the household, become household language, so to speak, and all the whole world know who Israel, how much sense does it going to be making to be fighting the Gaza Strip over land that you're not even inheriting of, when everybody knows that the true Israelites are African-Americans, and the true Israelites are the Limbas in South Africa, and the true Israelites is Ashanti, and the true Israelites is this group of Cochin Jews in India. Hold on, I'm wrapping this up. So all I'm saying is,
See, ain't nothing going to happen to Israel, because I'm going to tell you why. Israel got laser-based weapons up in the sky waiting for those armies to come against her. Now, the same armies that are going to destroy the United States and the Vatican, they're going to come up against Israel, and that's when Israel is going to release them laser beams on them people, and the whole world gonna look at that and say, "Oh, God took and killed all them armies for her people." But it's gonna be a grand delusion.
I know one thing. I don't know how it's gonna happen. I don't know if Israel gonna do exactly what you listen. Israel may do exactly what you say, and then in the end, they find out who the true Israelites is, and they just step down. I don't know. I know one thing. I wouldn't want to be president of something. Everybody know that I don't belong, that I'm not the true heir. Eventually, I would do kind of what they did with Barack. I would say, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and let you be president because you're entitled. I mean, at some point, you're going to give way to the true Jew. So whether or not they're going to beat down every other nation around them and then just – I don't know, but I do know this. This Bible has to be fulfilled. And a remnant, not all of Israel, but a small remnant is going to return. Because the Most High know most of us going to look at this and laugh. We'll know we Israel. We'll believe that, but we ain't going to Israel. So you might go want to go. I'm the type of person I don't want to go, but I don't think you're going.
You wouldn't let me talk.
Well, my brother, it is my show now. Okay, I'm letting you jump in here and there. So I did say I would open it up and we're going to share it, but I don't mean to dominate you either, but I should be commenting the most. I mean, you know, it is my show. I'm just trying to bring key points out that this show is all about, but I want to filter in your questions and comments as well. But go ahead.
But see, this is what I'm saying. Israel has a wicked agenda. Now, you know, Israel holds the most patents on laser-based weapons, land-based and space-based. Because Zechariah said, you know, when speaks about a people eyeballs melting in their eyes off, sockets and everything, he talking about that. They got the laser-based weapons that's waiting for their army to come up against them. So, the United Nations getting ready to relocate over there. Israel getting ready to be declared the international city of the world. That's all I wanted to say. They has a wicked agenda. All the nations gonna fall in line behind Israel, because when they see that fire come out of the sky, the people gonna say, it came from our God. That's all I was saying. Now, you can research.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to happen. Now, that right there, I still study that as I speak. I don't know. You may be right about that.
They hold the most laser patents on this earth.
I'm familiar with their technology. I do know that they are a very high-tech nation. They're almost like Japan. You know, but you got to understand, we helped them with our tax dollars. Our tax dollars helped that nation, which was a welfare state, which is totally unscriptural. So I do know at some point they have got to fall, because if the whole foundation is faulty, the way they became a nation with the United States and Great Britain, and becoming this from the Bafford Doctrine, B-A-F-F-O-R-D, for those of you who want to research on that, you know, that letter started it all, and all I'm saying is it was wickedness for them to do what they did and put these people in there. But I think the Most High could be using all of this to set up the nation, build it up,
yeah.
And then in the end, he wiped them out. I don't know. I don't wish no harm on nobody. I just wish the Most High have his way, however way he want to have it. And I hope to be on the right side. But I will answer your question you said earlier. Basically, you're saying, how can I be salvaged? How can we be salvaged? When is anything going to happen for us? Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and also when we talked about the Most High saying that he would remember his covenant he made with Abraham.
Because, see, this is what I wanted to say. Israel haven't came to their fullness with their wickedness. They have an agenda to bring fire out of the sky. And they're going to be that late. But, see, everybody want to say, you know, so much money going over to Israel. That's true. But there's some talented, intelligent people over in Israel. There's some great minds over there. And they're getting ready to give the world a big, great, grand delusion, and they're going to fall for it. And we're going to see it if we be still living, because this is going to be the generation. Fire, laser beams coming up out of that sky.
Well, remember, as technical as they are, they ain't the only one with technology. And that's the big thing we always forget. We, Israel in America is not, they don't, there's a whole lot of people learning this technology. And I've learned that the people with technology a lot of times don't even win the wars. As some call
but
guerrilla
Israel,
warfare, that's a...
That Jew, he going to win, because, see, I'm telling you, all the militaries out of earth are going to get destroyed. China, Russia, United States, all the ones going to survive is NATO and the United Nations forces. Whoever be with them for that wall in the valley of Jehoshaphat, where all the blood going to be up to the horse's bridle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. After the leading up to that, judgment coming on those people. But everybody's going to flock to Israel. They flocking now. You watch when you see the United Nations go over there, then it's really time to pay attention. Because the United Nations really getting ready to relocate. And you know about that big embassy they just built over there, the United States built over there. I'm telling you some real stuff, brother.
Brother, I'm with you. I'm with you. I have been hearing this forever. I've just never really – there's so much going on. There's so much to study. My angle, my calling has been these five smooth stones I talked about earlier. My job, I believe, is to, first of all, help resurrect Israel, Jeremiah 16:16. I'm one of the fishes, the hunters that's going to go and resurrect, help go. The Bible says in the latter days he's going to send fishes to hunt them out and fishes to fish them out. Fish who out? Israel. Out of all the mountains. That's what I do.
I go places. When I go places, I'm looking for people that's living out these blessings or curses. I'm saying, hey, do y'all have a people here that, you know, were brought here in ship? How did y'all get here in Papua New Guinea when I was there? How did y'all get here? And you know, what about y'all wives? Y'all, was y'all wives ever ravaged from a nation that came from the north? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Europeans came here. What did they do? And how did they treat y'all? And when I see them living out, I say, you know you're Israel, right? And I establish contact. That's what I'm doing on Tuesday nights at midnight, Central Standard Time. I'm help resurrecting a nation, because the first thing you got to do, ain't nothing going to happen. Messiah is not going to return. Nothing going to happen till Israel is resurrected. And it's happening. It's happening. You right now asking the questions you're asking is a part of that prophecy being fulfilled. You're asking serious, you're very alert, mature to even want to know these things. And yeah, you got the Egyptologists and some misguided preachers saying, you know, not knowing what they're talking about, half cocked. But I promise you, we are Israel. We are Israel. We have been scattered to the four corners. It's time for us to return back to our true faith. Fear the Most High, seek Him, as you heard the scripture say. That's what we're to do. Seek Him, return to Him, make sure we're true to Him. Now, I'm talking as though I'm some perfect little angel, but I'm not. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm seeking Him. I don't have to do what I do. I don't have to be on this blog talk every other day, but I'm trying to do what I feel a calling to do. And I've been doing it for a very, very long time, just not on blog talk. Okay? While everybody else is flying to Paris, I'm flying to Ethiopia, trying to see, you know, what their angle is. Why everybody's flying off to Hawaii, which I've been there many times, but I'm trying to go over to, you know, Guam or somewhere and trying to see what these islanders, because the Most High said He scattered us to the islanders, and I'm trying to get over to Chuuk, you know, these little islands. I'm asking questions the little time I'm there. All I'm saying is, brother, we can't help but to fulfill prophecy. You're doing the right thing, but don't ask questions. Well, I can't say that. I meant to say you can ask questions, but acknowledge the answer when the Most High sends you the answer. And I know you. Agree with me quickly, because you know you got to first research some things. But check out Deuteronomy 28. When you're reading about horses and oxes and all that, you might say, man, I don't have no horse.
Where are familiar with it?
I'm sorry?
I'm well familiar with it, Deuteronomy 28, and the other chapter where it talks about what the curses and the blessings. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, reread it after you talk to me, because when you read it, you was probably under one notion. I mean, but we can go to Lamentations where it talks about the features of Israel. You know, in Isaiah, the Most High got mad at Israel and said, the Most High was mad at Israel, and he says, I'm going to take away your eye jewelry, your forehead jewelry, your feet jewelry, your nose jewelry, because those jewelries meant certain things. And he says, I'm going to have them, basically, he's going to take away their identity, so have them so confused they ain't going to even remember to wear these different things. But they used to wear nose jewelry and jewelry on the forehead and jewelry on the ankles. These are jewelry that Israel wore. And the Most High said in Isaiah that he would take this away. So all I'm saying, man, and you got to go back and listen to the archives, Amazing Proof of Black Biblical Israelites 101. And when you listen to that, again, it's Amazing Proof of Black Jews 101. You listen to that, part one and part two, it'll make a whole lot more sense what I'm saying today, because today I'm not really digging into the scriptures. I'm trying to appeal to people. I'm trying to just appeal to just some common sense approach to this, because we can mention these scriptures all day long, and folks are brainwashed. They're going to keep saying the same stuff they see. But listen, I got to run. I enjoyed you talking with me, my brother. Any last comments? Can you do it in like 15 seconds?
Yes. One last comment. Keep your eyes on Israel, because they're going to give us a big show. Fire coming up out of the sky, and they're going to be the international city to the true God ready to deal with them.
I hear you. I appreciate that, and we're going to talk more, okay? I got your number. We're going to talk more.
Everybody, check out this last song I'm going to play. Peace to you, brother. Joseph Isaiah, that brother right there, got something to say. We'll talk later, though, okay? Anyway, this is LaCroix talking about who the king. Of course, he say Jesus Christ, because I know that's what y'all think. And that's true, but remember, there's no J in the Hebrew language. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach. But check out LaCroix.
Let's establish that he's Israel's king. So in Matthew 1 and 1 and on to 1:17, we see his lineage and trace way back in the time that legally he was fine in the Davidic line. And genealogically, he's still king of the Jews because the book of Luke exposes genetical clues. See, a true king, though he didn't do it in the physical, he brought a new covenant, the freedom and the spiritual. And after some time, wise men from the east came looking for the newborn king in the streets. I know some of you dudes may cruise a forerunner, but Christ had a dude to use as a forerunner.
Oh,
your promoter don't cut it like John the
That's
Baptist.
Tough.
You need publicity stunts, so you dating an actress.
Oh.
A real king got somebody bringing the news that his kingdom's at hand and they ain't fit to lace up his shoes. So tell me, who's anointing all these so-called kings? They all self-proclaimed, and man, that's a dangerous thing.
What? That's
tight, Grant.
Tight.
Yeah. Okay. See, there's a lot of cats going around talking about they the king, you know what I'm saying? King of this, the king of that. Well, I think we need to get this straight. There's only one true king. Hey, Flame, come help your boy out, man. Let's get into this one, man. Yeah. Who the real king?
He was raised up in Nazareth and raised on a scissor. Never got drunk, got high, scissor. Prophesied King Isaiah 9.
That's the wizard.
He's the real king and it don't matter. The king's a real shepherd, dog. Asking people's favor, y'all. Not a self-seeking player, all about the paper, dog. Call him the Messiah, anointed one to save you, bro. Call him on the humble, but you'll see him rain later. He self-proclaimed king, bragging cause they on chrome. But 26 inches is a pretty low throne. Like kids playing in their daddy's clothes, but he's gone.
Let's see.